that.
Do you know, CCF's a body ministry. We believe that everybody can minister. Brilliant, thank you. I'm going to ask Gail to come on. So I'd like to pray for Gail. Father God, thank you for Gail. Thank you for her life. Thank you for her obedience. Thank you for her servant heart. Lord, thank you that you've placed a word in Gail's heart. There's a word on her lips. And I pray that we'll open our spiritual ears to what Gail brings, because God's speaking to us this morning. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. I'm feeling a bit humble to follow that sharing, because it was pretty amazing. But like Frank, when I was asked to speak, I said, God, what do you want me to tell them? And the following week, when I was teaching piano at school, I was put in a classroom I'd never been in before. And as I sat, I looked at the wall in front, and on the wall there was a quote, and it said, "You have only failed when you have stopped trying." And I looked at it, and you know, I couldn't get that out of my head for the rest of the week. And I thought, I know what God wants me to speak about. And I'm so thankful that Ruth confirmed that for me, because I want to speak about perseverance. So Dyson had 5,126 failed prototypes before creating the world's first bagless vacuum cleaner. That's perseverance. Thomas Edison attempted the light bulb 1,000 times before succeeding. And when asked, how did it feel to fail 1,000 times? He said, I didn't. The light bulb was an invention with 1,000 steps. That's perseverance. Walt Disney's request for a loan was rejected by 301 banks before he finally got a yes. And he went on to build the world's most famous theme park. That's perseverance. The dictionary meaning of perseverance is continued effort to do or achieve something, even when this is difficult or takes time. In God's word, we are called to persevere in our walk with him. No matter how great your calling, your talent, your cause, or your goal, without perseverance, you won't make it. Hence, James writes in chapter 1, verse 12, "Blessed is the man who perseveres." Someone once wrote, "You'll notice a common thread throughout the Bible. When we really need him, God shows up and does for us what we can't do for ourselves. The rest of the time, he strengthens us and says, keep treading and trust." There's a million and one reasons why we feel like giving up, and I'm sure we're all human. Maybe problems come into our lives, maybe unanswered prayer, maybe God seeming far away, maybe dealing with illness in ourselves or others, maybe losing a loved one, maybe people disappointing us. There's just an endless list. But I want to say something to you this morning. I want to tell you that God sees your perseverance. And God is pleased with your perseverance. How do I know this? Well, when speaking to the church at Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2, verse 2, God says, "I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance." And again, speaking to the church in Thyatira in Revelation chapter 2, verse 19, he says, I know your deeds, your love and faith, your service and your perseverance. No one said that the Christian life would be easy. And for some people, it's a harder path than others. I love that saying, by perseverance, the snail reached the ark. That very picture for me just conjures up resilience and determination. So what enables us to persevere? Well, firstly, the hope of what lies ahead for us. We've been hearing about that in the sharing this morning. Someone wrote, there's a mental condition that's essential to the life God wants you to live. It's the fuel your heart runs on. It's the difference between those who persevere and those who give up. It's called hope. In Job chapter 11, verse 18, in the New Living Translation, it says, you will have courage because you will have hope. And in Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3, it says, we remember before our God your endurance, inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. So what is this hope? It's the hope of eternal life in heaven with Jesus that we've been promised. Columbus faced incredible difficulties while sailing west in search of a passage to Asia. He suffered storms, hunger, deprivation, and extreme discouragement. But his account of the journey was the same thing over and over. Today, we sailed on. His perseverance paid off. He didn't discover a fast route to the Indies. Instead, he found a new continent. How much greater in comparison is our destination? Hebrews chapter 10 verse 23 onwards says, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we possess, for he who promised is faithful. And in Philippians chapter 3 verse 4, Paul says, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus. Most of my favourite films have the theme of perseverance running through them. One of my favourites is Far and Away. With aspirations of owning land, a young Irish couple, Joseph and Shannon, flee to America and end up journeying together. Battling great difficulties, they end up separated. But on the night before they are to claim their land, Joseph spots Shannon, and I'm going to ask Doug, if it works, if you can just play this short clip of what happens next. Right, I'm going to have to do the Irish accent for you then. But I don't look like Tom Cruise. Right, I'm not going to get it word for word, but what happens is Joseph sees Shannon and he basically says, Shannon, you never gave up. You knew what you wanted and you kept going. Shannon, you're a corker. What a corker you are. I never watched that without getting goosebumps, and just something moves me. And I think it's because I have that picture of when we're about to claim the land God has given us. I have this dream that God's going to look at me and say, Gail Manson, you never gave up, you kept going, you're a cock. And I just want you to imagine that that's you. And that's how much God is rooting for you and how much he wants you to persevere. So the second thing that helps us is the example and encouragement of others. After listing many men of faith in Hebrews chapter 11, and I haven't time to go into them this morning, but there's so many that God lists. In chapter 12, verse 1, it then says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. I'll never forget Sheila talking about this very thing from this microphone and saying how she had a picture of all these people standing on the sideline, cheering us on towards heaven. I'll never forget that. And next, we have our ultimate example in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Verse 3, consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. When our boys were young, and they wanted to learn to ride their bikes without stabilisers, we took them to the cemetery. There's always one guy. And Colin used to say, they would get on the bike and Colin would hold the back of them, and then he would say, right, set your eyes on that church and start pedalling. And it used to amaze me, because they would take off wobbling, and then they would just go for it. I mean, I have to say one day, Daniel, it would have to be Daniel, took his eyes off the church, swerved him by the entrance, and we waited for the crash on the road. Fortunately, he bumped into the wall. But if we fix our eyes on Jesus, we used to sing a chorus when I was a teenager, when the road is rough and steep, fix your eyes upon Jesus. That is the key. And secondly, the example and encouragement of those around us helps us to persevere. I was just thinking this morning as I was playing the piano, I could write my own Hebrews chapter 11 with the people in this fellowship and my Christian relatives. And it would be a very long chapter. As I scan this room and I look at the people who have persevered, the people who've inspired me, the people who've encouraged me, been an example to me. I'm not going to mention them because I don't want to leave people out, and some I don't know, but they know. And I want to thank them this morning because their example has helped me to persevere. I'm so thankful to God that I had a dad who wasn't a quitter. I remember doing my driving test for the first time and failing. And I came home, ran in the house and said, I'll never drive again. Ran up the stairs, threw myself on the bed and started to cry. And my dad came up the stairs and he opened the door and he said, Gail, get out of that room. Get down those stairs. Get into that car and drive. It was tough love, but I needed it. And you know, sometimes we need that, and sometimes we need to have the courage to give it. But that's what helps us to persevere, the people around us. And often we don't know the effect we're having on the people around us. So the third one is knowing that Jesus is always there to help us. I read a thing at the beginning, didn't I, that when we really can't do it ourselves anymore, that's when Jesus comes along and helps us. In the semi-final of the 1992 Olympics, Derek Redmond pulled a hamstring as he started to run in the 400 metre race. He hobbled along in agony, determined to complete the race. His dad was in the crowd, watching. He pushed past the security people. He ran to his son's side and supported him as he limped around the track and finished the race. That's what our Father does when we are struggling. I just want to finish, and I hope it works. I'm going to ask Doug to show that clip. And as you're watching, I want you to imagine that you're Derek Redmond. And I want to imagine you to imagine that his Father is God. And if you feel like giving up this morning, or if you are having problems persevering, I just want you to really take this on board. Thank you.
Thank you.